This episode is brought to you by the Canby Liquor Store. Yep, they're still open. There's no scientific evidence that says alcohol cures COVID, but hey, it's worth a shot, right? Find them in the Canby Fred Meyer Shopping Center.
This episode is also brought to you by Oddmo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
A restaurant in Canby opened for dine-in service Friday and Saturday, the Canby Now podcast has confirmed, in violation of Governor Kate Brown's orders prohibiting restaurants from offering anything but takeout, curbside pickup, and delivery. Reports came in Saturday morning of there being as many as 15 cars parked at and around the establishment, which the Canby Now podcast is not naming at this time, and of customers coming and going, none of whom were carrying takeout containers. Those dining in included more than one Canby elected official, according to independently verified reports from inside the restaurant. Reached by phone at approximately 11 a.m., the restaurant's owner told the Canby Now podcast they were open for takeout only. We expressed the rumors we had heard, along with concerns that they were putting themselves at risk for fines and legal consequences that would only harm their business in the long run. The owner replied, quote, "Someone has to take a stand. If somebody wants to come and start something, so be it. I've got a lawyer." Canby Police Chief Brett Smith said his office had received reports similar to those we did, and the officers were dispatched to investigate the alleged non-compliance pursuant to their previously established protocols. Officers observed that the restaurant was fully open, in violation of the governor's executive orders. "At all times, the owner was polite, professional, and cooperative," Smith said. After a brief and cordial interaction, they agreed to close the dining room. "What we tried to convey was that we really felt it was in their best interest to comply," Chief Smith said. "We are concerned about our businesses, and we don't want to see any of them get in trouble because of non-compliance." The chief said he understands the enormous difficulties facing small and independent businesses owners in the COVID-related economic downturn. "I feel very sympathetic," he said. "Our small businesses are really hurting right now. We know they're not trying to put anybody at risk. They're just trying to survive." The Oregon Liquor Control Commission and other licensing agencies have not taken lightly reports of businesses accused of violating the governor's executive orders. In late March, new rules were adopted allowing the OLCC to immediately suspend or outright revoke the license of any businesses found to be non-compliant. The first Oregon establishment to have its license suspended for allegedly defying the governor's orders was the Sportsman's Tavern, a bar in Cave Junction that was accused of being discreetly open for business. An OLCC inspector visited the premises and observed customers coming and going and drinks being served at the bar. However, the owner claimed it was only his employees, having a drink and a meal after the close of the business that day, and vowed to appeal the suspension. The number of confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus has reached double figures at Countryside Living. Countryside Living is a privately owned facility in downtown Canby that serves only residents with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. A seventh resident tested positive this week, along with three employees for a total of 10 cases. The seven residents includes a 93-year-old woman who died there last Monday from complications of COVID-19 and underlying conditions. So far, staff have been successful in their strategy of isolating the outbreak to the Countryside's North Building. The North Building is the larger of their two licensed facilities on Northwest 2nd Avenue. Beyond the residents with confirmed cases, there are no others showing symptoms at this time, according to CSL spokeswoman Michelle Quinn. All the residents are doing well, she said, but they are still quarantined, so it's a bit of a challenge. Colorful, weatherproof hearts continue to accumulate on residents' exterior windows, a local effort that is part of a wider movement called World of Hearts. This is intended to demonstrate love and hope to those in isolated settings. All residents have been isolated to their rooms to help mitigate the risk of the spread. They are being cared for with staff members wearing personal protective equipment. Residents' family and primary care physicians are being contacted immediately if it is suspected that they may have contracted the virus, the facility said. Free testing has been made available for employees who want to get tested and don't have an established primary care provider. Brenda Wilberg is an employee who once worked as a dietary aide at Thelma's Place, Countryside Living's nonprofit day respite program, which has been shut down since mid-March by order of Governor Kate Brown. Since then, Wilberg has been assigned to Countryside's South Building, working primarily with the activity staff. Since the outbreak, CSL North employees have been prohibited from entering the South Building and vice versa. In other cases, those dedicated caregivers have been assigned to COVID-positive residents to help mitigate the spread of the virus. Staff members with confirmed cases or symptoms of any illness have been instructed to self-quarantine. Other employees who are at a higher risk to the virus themselves have asked to stay home or be reassigned to the South Building, which is allowed after a mandatory 14-day quarantine period. Not surprisingly, it is all combined to make staffing something of a challenge in the North Building, where all the confirmed cases have been located so far. But Wilberg tells the Cambie Now podcast that Countryside owners Eric and Kristen Berkey have done much more than cheer from the sidelines. They jumped in on the front lines and are working in the North Building alongside everyone else, Wilberg said. It's been truly inspiring. They have been so appreciative of all of us hanging in there and working to keep our residents safe and healthy. Striving to maintain the physical, mental, and emotional health of memory care patients in the midst of a global pandemic presents a number of challenges, but Wilberg says she and the other staff are doing everything they can. We are constantly sanitizing everything, she says. We have music therapy, sing a lot, dance around, and try to keep things light with humor. We encourage residents to go out into the courtyard one at a time when the weather is nice. We try and listen to their concerns and answer their questions truthfully with a lot of hope and positive feelings. Cambie Fire District responded to an emergency medical call in which the novel coronavirus was either a confirmed or suspected factor approximately once per day last month. The local fire district is not tracking or reporting COVID-19 test results for patients they transport or otherwise come into contact with. Firefighters are donning full personal protective equipment for every single medical call they respond to, regardless of symptoms. However, Cambie Fire Division Chief Matt Dale, who is in charge of the district's paramedic services, shared during a community update at Cambie Foursquare Church Wednesday night that their 911 dispatch received at least 24 calls for patients with symptoms that may be consistent with the COVID-19 virus during the month of April. That represents more than 1/6 of the total emergency medical calls that the district responded to that month. Division Chief Dale also reiterated that the fire district continues to notice people waiting too late to call 911 for medical emergencies. This apparently comes out of fear of being exposed to the coronavirus in the ambulance, at the hospital, or by EMTs.
At Canby Fire, we are also noticing people who seem to be waiting to call 911 after they recognize symptoms consistent with medical emergencies. And this waiting to call 911 has many times worsened their condition. Early recognition and treatment is always a priority when it comes to your health. Canby Fire has been delivering ambulance transport service to our community for more than 70 years now, and currently has an average response time within the city of Canby to all emergent calls of 5 minutes and 7 seconds. Our firefighter paramedics and EMTs continue to provide advanced life support care on scene and while en route to the hospital. We urge you and anyone that you know of experiencing a medical emergency to call 911 and do not wait.
Most cases of COVID-19 do not result in hospitalization, though the risk is higher for older demographics. The vast majority of those who contract the disease have mild symptoms or moderate symptoms, and some experience no symptoms at all. The first and so far only confirmed cases of COVID-19 within the city limits of Canby have been at Countryside Living. Long-term care facilities are required to report confirmed or pending test results for the virus. Other results are being reported only at the county level, not city. As of Sunday, Clackamas County has been linked to 225 of the state's 2,680 cases and 7 deaths. Rural counties and areas of the state that have seen zero or almost zero cases of COVID-19 could begin the process of reopening as soon as May 15th, Governor Brown announced Friday, if the areas meet her specific criteria for reopening. She made the announcement at a virtual press conference where she also introduced her plans for a broad strategy of COVID-19 testing and contact tracing. These are two key elements of her framework for reopening Oregon's economy in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic.
As we look to reopen Oregon, it's critical that we use science and data to ensure that we can safely take steps forward. Public health experts agree that there are key steps to safely reopening. At the top of the list is a thorough strategy to test, trace, and isolate the virus. We must understand the prevalence of the disease in Oregon. Testing and tracing serve two purposes. First, to diagnose those who are sick, and second, to see where the virus may be hiding.
The state's testing strategy will have three goals. One, make testing available for any individual in vulnerable group living situations, such as nursing homes, prisons, and farm worker housing. Two, conduct ongoing, widespread, and random, yet voluntary testing, both statewide and within especially at-risk populations. And three, make testing available for anyone showing symptoms of the coronavirus. This widespread testing would be done in partnership with Oregon Health and Sciences University. It will require unified coordination between all hospital labs, acting as one statewide system to optimize the available testing capacity and meet the state's testing needs in every region. The other key element of Governor Brown's containment strategy is her contact tracing plan, which sets a goal of training at least 600 contact tracers deployed statewide by county, whose job it will be to let people know if they've come in contact with someone with a positive case of COVID-19. As to timelines, the governor was vague. One thing is for sure, things will not be back to normal, or even the new normal, for a long time.
I want to be clear that we will not be able to open Oregon quickly or in one fell swoop. This process will happen much more slowly than any of us would like. However, in certain parts of the state, we see almost zero cases and few hospitalizations. It is my hope that some counties or regions could have the ability to begin the process of reopening as soon as May 15th.
the coronavirus pandemic wrecked the final trimester of the class of 2020's careers at Canby High School. But it might also have brought out the best in them, according to their high school administrators and teachers. I've been impressed with the positivity, camaraderie, and resilience of these students, Principal Greg Dinza tells the Canby Now podcast. Their last term was simply decimated, and yet I continue to see our students rise up and respond positively and supportively. Associate Principal Kimmy Carroll, whose daughter is among the senior class, agreed, saying the class of 2020 has actually been encouraging their teachers and administrators just as much as the staff has been trying to support them. They are supporting each other, caring about staff, and are so positive with us all, she said. They are resilient and flexible. We miss them so much. As you know, they were born around 9/11. And if there was a class that could handle this, it would be the class of 2020. Associate Principal Carrie Sloan said the seniors have revealed their resilience in creative ways during these unprecedented times. They are a spirited bunch, she said. They are trained athletes, musicians, thespians, and students who have had remarkable success on the field, court, stage, and so much more. When school officials received word that all the best parts of senior year, graduation, prom, and the like, would be canceled statewide because of the pandemic, they began to brainstorm other creative ways to honor and recognize students for their achievement. One of those ways was a campaign placing signs that celebrated the class of 2020 in the yard of each member of the senior class. It was a closely guarded secret until Friday evening, when administrators, parents, and volunteers collected the signs at Canby Fine Arts Center, then dispersed throughout the community to surprise students and parents. Think of it as a senior prank, just, you know, in reverse. We always want graduation to be special, Greg Dinza said, in explaining the effort. It's a crowning achievement and a life transition all in one. The class of 2020 was given a raw deal with the closure, and we want to make this as special and memorable as we can under these unique circumstances. The signs were designed by Anna Noel, one of the school's graphic design teachers, and ordered a few weeks ago in preparation for the surprise distribution. This kicked off at 6 p.m. May 1st. The school also mailed out senior hearts to the class through regular mail, which was done in English, Spanish, and Russian out of respect for the community's diversity. Earlier in the week, CHS staff had further shown their love and appreciation for the class of 2020, greeting them from a distance and cheering them on as they picked up their senior t-shirts and gear, graduation information, and caps and gowns and cougar pins. For photos, visit our Facebook page or find this story on our website at cambynowpod.com.
Canby, DirectLink is here for you. In these troubling times, the last thing anyone should have to worry about is how to stay connected to their loved ones, work, education, and news. The expert staff at DirectLink are all based right here in Canby and are committed to keeping those critical internet, video, and voice connections on and strong for their members. They have signed the Keep Americans Connected pledge from the FCC, which means they have promised to keep students online to continue their studies, local businesses connected to their customers and employees, and all their members virtually in touch with what matters most to them, no matter how far away they may be. So if you have DirectLink as a provider, go ahead and reach out to your loved ones on a traditional telephone, watch a child's home recital over an internet video chat, download your favorite local podcast, I mean, do we even have to ask what it is, or enjoy a favorite movie at home, because DirectLink will keep our friends, neighbors, and local businesses connected, no matter what. We're all in this together.
We'd like to extend our undying gratitude to Canby Now Plus member Jill Baker. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we absolutely love. To find out how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, one of our supporters on Patreon, visit cambynowpod.com/plus.
All All right, joining us on the Canby Conversation today, I'm so excited about today's guest. It's been a long time coming. We've been talking about it for a while. Finally happening in the midst of all this craziness. But it's David Thornton, the owner-operator of Bricks and Minifigs in Canby. Hi, David.
Hi, Tyler. Thank you so much for having me on today. And hello to everyone listening.
Absolutely. We're delighted, like I said. And I almost feel like I should be part owner. I should have some stock at this point because of all the money my kids have had me spend at your store over the years. But apparently that's not how it works. So,
Not exactly, but, you know, we could talk privately.
Okay, we'll talk offline then. So, David, you have been the owner, franchisee of this location in Canby for about 3 years. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the business?
So to be honest, when I was living in California, we paid a visit up to Canby to see some friends of my wife's.
Oh, really?
And we had met them at a previous trip, but it wasn't in Canby. We had all, like, vacationed together because our kids are the same age. And they said, oh, you like Lego? You should come to Canby. We have a Lego store in Canby that buys, sells, and trades new and used Lego. And I'm into Lego. I said, those places don't exist. You must be wrong. Yeah. Here's a woman who lives in Canby, and she's telling me about Bricks and Minifigs, and it's such an unbelievable concept to me that I didn't believe her at the time. But we did have the chance to come visit later and visit the original Bricks and Minifigs. We used to be a little storefront next to the Ladybug Chocolates over on the north side at first. We spent about a year there. So I visited that location, and it was just like nothing I'd ever seen. You know, it was very quaint, very small, but as someone who grew up ogling the Lego catalogs, you know, of course you get a couple, but there's always the catalog of everything. And
right.
And going to shop, and all of a sudden, here's these Lego that I always wanted that I never could have and I never thought would ever be within my reach. And anyone who stepped a foot into Bricks and Minifigs for the first time, they, and who has never heard of it or doesn't really know what to expect, it's, that magic hit me immediately. So, you know, I was in California, and I was always kind of meditating on this space and just the trajectory of my family's lives brought us the opportunity to move to Canby. So I was all about that transition for many reasons. You know, I just think Canby's a beautiful little town with the rivers and everything, and having a Bricks and Minifigs and friends in town already, it was just great. But we did spend about 5 years in Canby. I actually applied to work at Bricks and Minifigs when we first moved here, but did not get hired, which I wasn't really expecting, to be honest. But, you know, I wasn't going to move into this area and not at least try.
Right.
So that's kind of how we got interested in Bricks and Minifigs.
Was you said they won't hire me? I'll just buy them and I'll just buy them out, right?
That thought had not even crossed my brain forever.
I'll show them.
Oh yeah.
But
you know, fast forward a few years, and you know, we've been living in Canby a few years, and you know, we go to Bricks and Minifigs a couple times a year. It wasn't really a destination we could go to all the time as much as we wanted, but we definitely appreciated the experience, and always had fun and always enjoyed the staff and you know, the previous owner John, and one day I was in here after work one evening, and one of the previous employees was here, and I just made an offhand comment because we had been thinking about, you know, starting a franchise or going into business. And I just made an offhand comment that, you know, oh, I would love to franchise a Bricks and Minifig, but I love Canby too much. And, you know, I don't think Canby could support a second Bricks and Minifig location. being very, you know, joking about it. But the man I was speaking to is the manager at the time, and he kind of said to me, you know, this franchises for sale. And it was like, I heard him, and I kind of, you know, I did a little spin around the room, and I felt like I just watched The Matrix or something, and I thought, no way, Jose. This is not the type of thing that happens. But, you know, I got the information, and I asked what the steps were if we were interested in franchising. And just like the Lego said, it was, you know, just instructions. If you want to franchise a Bricks and Minifigs location, follow these steps. And, you know, it seemed impossible, even though the mountain seemed impossible to climb. We just incrementally took the steps as they came, and now we're here.
You didn't get to like step 45 and you realize that you don't have the piece you needed or whatnot.
Exactly. Yep. Now, there were times when we had to get creative. We may not have had the pieces we need, so we had to look for substitutes, color swaps, things like that.
Oh, sure, sure.
But
yeah.
We're pretty happy with what we're building. It's not finished yet, and we're constantly adding pieces and modifying this thing that we're working on and having fun doing it.
Awesome. Well, I have so many questions. So up playing with Legos and stuff. You kind of alluded to that. You're a big Lego fan.
Absolutely. You know, I had Legos as a kid. I had a couple cool space sets, big castle.
Star Wars.
Pretty blessed in that regard. Well, Star Wars Lego didn't come out until I was an adult. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, Star Wars.
I mean,
Lego
I still don't see why you couldn't have gotten them.
Oh, no, I did. Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but that was, I think it was, 2020 when those came out. And I absolutely bought the one with the Darth Vader minifigure was just mind-blowing at the time. Sorry,
yeah.
Well, your levels there with that explosion. Actually, the first thing I wanted to do as a kid was be a Lego designer. I think a lot of kids who play with Lego, that's something they want to do. You know, I want to be a Lego designer. You learn as a kid that Legos are designed in Europe, and, you know, you decide you want to be real things, like a garbage man or fireman. And, those kind of fantasy careers fade away. But it's always been a part of my life. When I moved from Michigan to California, the car was full. The TV came out. The Legos went in. and I've been carrying them with me and, using them. It's a fun hobby.
Oh, absolutely. You can always buy a new TV, right?
Exactly, yeah. You're not going to replace those Legos. You know, they're on the garage sale before you go home to visit.
Yeah, so you have to have, especially owning the store and doing what you do now and having grown up with it as well, you had to have spent some time thinking about this answer to my next question. But what do you think is makes Lego so appealing to kids and teens and grown-ups alike?
Lego is appealing for a lot of reasons, and people are going to find it appealing for different reasons. And that's why it is so popular with everybody, because there's so many reasons to enjoy it. You don't need to. You can only find one. So one thing I like is just the tactile nature. I can have a Lego in my hand if I'm, just as a fidget and enjoy the different surfaces. There's going to be a stud side, a smooth side, a flat side. So just the tactile nature from the very beginning of picking up the piece is feels good to a human to have something small and in control in their hand.
Yeah.
Being able to create something beautiful from lots of small pieces is really satisfying. So, if you've got a giant bag, it doesn't look like anything. It's the same reason cooking a meal for yourself is so satisfying. Yeah. You're starting with the raw ingredients, you're building up something, you have accomplished something that to show for it. A lot of it's nostalgia. Kids, parents had Legos as a kid. They never had as many as they wanted. Times are different now. Kids have a lot more Legos now than some of us had as kids, and we might only have one or two boxes. But there's always, I think for a lot of adults who have kids now, they enjoy playing with the product so much they may not be able to explain why. But developmentally, it definitely helps the brain wrap their heads around, spatial awareness, hand-eye coordination, things like that. So I think the human entity, enjoys it for the developmental reasons, but they may not even be able to understand why. They may just, they just like it. They have a nostalgia for it. The colors are great. Even the sound is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The Lego sound.
I am so, and we even talked about this one of the times that you may not remember, but one of the times we were in person chatting, way before COVID, about doing this interview. And I was so excited to do it in person because I love that sound of the people, those bins you have at the store, those grab bag bins, and people raking through those big piles of Legos, which I guess even now must seem crazy, the COVID days that we're living in now, like people, some epidemiologist just got chills or something with the idea of, people touching Legos. But I love that sound. Yeah.
And I know Lego is consistently modifying their plastics, looking for stronger plastics or working on colors and things. And they're also working towards plant-based plastics. And one of the things they actually test is the sound. So we read a news article that they had a really strong plastic. It looked good. It was strong, but it just didn't sound right. It didn't have that same clink, and even though it was a superior product, it came across as an inferior product. So even Lego understands the auditory appeal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. I love that sound. Yeah, totally. That, I mean, it seems weird, but then you think about it like, yeah, that makes sense. If it doesn't sound right, I'm not going to like it as much.
It's been really quiet around here. I miss all of my friends. We miss you guys, and I can't wait till things open up and everyone's able to come visit again. We all miss you here. You're listening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the thing, and we'll kind of talk about that, but, like, you described it even in just your initial, you know, answer to my first question, but that feeling of coming into your store and just, like, it's you feel like a kid again. You feel like a kid in a candy store or whatever, and especially, like, a candy store is a thing that you've probably been to before, or at least that you know exists. Like, a Lego store and the way that you guys do it, it's not something that you, just like you described, it's not something that you even, like, would have believed you could do or walk into. And to have that change right now, yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, do you sort of, like, how much do you think about that, like, that initial, like, feeling that you want to give people? How designed is that, or is it just, you know, is it just sort of more passive than that, and just the Legos do all the work, as it were?
The Legos do a lot of our job for us. We actually, we try not to, when a customer steps in the store, we try not to hit them right away with the, hey, how can I help you? Which is hard for me, because that goes against some of my customer service training, but we want to give them that minute to just absorb, just to step in and be like, what am I stepping into before, you know? And you can kind of see the look on their face, or they'll walk in a little slow. It's, you can kind of, you can, you know, it's the walk. They're kind of the slow walk with the slow head turning around, and it's very easy to say, oh, it's your first time in. And they're like, this is amazing. Which is a really good feeling for all of us here. You know, we're trying to provide a really fun, magical place where you can forget about some of that other outside drama and just come in and feel magic. That's the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mean, anyone who's been in your store, or maybe even just hearing this interview, but I mean, the fact that, like, a business that you wouldn't even know exists, like, use Legos and Lego trading and, you know, all this, you know, custom made sets and stuff like that, like, you wouldn't necessarily even think that that business exists or would be as successful as you guys have been. But obviously, to do that takes, you know, huge amounts of creativity. To just love Legos as much as you do takes creativity. And so obviously, in these very challenging times that we're living in, you guys have been doing some really unique and creative things to still connect with customers, still share some of your products and stuff like that. Why don't you tell us about how you've been handling with even just these kind of emotionally sad times, as you said, just the fact that we can't do business the way that we love doing business and can't have people in our store the way that we would like.
Yeah, it was it's been an intense, we're going on almost 6 weeks, I think 5 weeks here. When it was first starting to ramp up and the government recommendations were coming out and it was looking very likely for a closure, I honestly went into immediate action and I just started plotting out what I'm going to do, how am I going to try to help make this work. So obviously, in addition to following government recommendations and any, you know, law is not really the word, but, you know, following the rules, and getting creative. So we opened up a web shop, which was honestly on the list of things to do for a very long time, so it was kind of nice, that little punch. So we opened up a quick web shop that we were able to list some immediate options. We immediately created a whole bunch of new products that are easy to grab and go. So we made these quarantine boxes, if you've seen them on our website.
Those are cool.
A big grab bag, again, base plates, mini big bulk Legos. They're taped up, sealed, and dated when they're sealed. So, you know, if you want to be comfortable and let it sit for a week, or you know what, you know, when the last time those products were checked. And we did, like, birthday parties in a box, because all of a sudden we had birthday parties planned that we couldn't host. So we took birthday items, crammed them in a box, made those available for people who were going to miss their birthdays. We had an egg hunt planned. We do our egg hunt every year. We had Lego-filled Easter eggs all over the store, and all of a sudden we weren't able to do that. So we converted that, and we ended up filling and shipping, delivering, or having picked up 55 Lego-filled Easter baskets this year. So that was super awesome. Thank you to anyone listening out there if you participated in that. And then now we've implemented the full drive-up service. So if anyone has been getting out, they can see our signs from the road. But basically, we just push product to all of our windows. We have 7 or 8 windows that are just stuffed full of product. Each window is themed. We have a minifigure window. We have new in-box windows. We have certified windows. We have Duplos and Juniors windows, poly bag windows. And then just call us from outside, and we can help you find anything you need. We're here normal hours. I did not cut hours at all. I felt that that we were going to be able to see ourselves through this, and I wanted to be here for the customers. So anytime we're open, customers can reach us, phone. We can do it online. We can do it in the front door. You just can't come in, so we're doing it a little bit differently.
Yeah, whole new meaning to the term window shopping, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, you can window shop here, but you actually get to buy it and take it home.
Yeah, love it. And you've been doing, I think it's on Fridays, right? The Live at 5 cyber sales?
Yeah, how can I forget? The Live at 5. So, yeah, this is an idea that was originally implemented by one of our stores in Texas. So we've kind of been watching them do it. We have almost 40 stores across the U.S. now. So we're super proud of all of the franchisees. It's amazing. But they started doing live sales just as a way to reach out to more customers and you know, try new revenue streams. So they had kind of laid a lot of the groundwork for that. What was working, you know, gave us, they, as soon as everyone had to shut down, they shot out, you know, spreadsheets and things and tips for everybody on how to help, you know, roll these out in your store. So, you know, with that, you know, being part of a really strong network, we were able to unroll that, and it's been getting funner and more high tech, each week as we go on. And even when we do open back up, we're hoping to continue it. May not still be on Fridays because that's generally a pretty busy evening for us. But we are planning to continue the live streams, at least somewhat, even when we are allowed to let the customers back in. So, but we're having a lot of fun. You know, we're doing some giveaways and some little contests and things, and it's really been a lot of fun. And from what I'm hearing from the parents, the kids are really enjoying having something to look forward to on Friday evenings. So we're really happy to be able to provide that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. David, I want to ask you, how do you kind of maintain that positive attitude and still have fun with it? I mean, the challenges and all the things that you change so fast, you know, just out of the blue, with so much energy, what motivated you in that, where some people might have looked at those challenges and been like, and we've actually sadly even seen it, just be like, no, I'm just going to close, you know, like just for a little bit till this blows over. I'm not going to try and completely redefine my business on the fly. What kept you saying, no, we're going to find some way to keep this, keep our doors quote unquote open, right? We're going to find some way to still be who we are through this.
Yeah, I'll be honest, there's a lot of complex factors at play. The number one thing I would say is that I've been working very hard here for 3 years, harder than I've worked on anything in my life. I've never owned a business before, so I've worked in a lot of franchises, so I kind of know, you know, what's going on. But I was worried that if I shut the store down, we weren't going to get her back open, and that may be hard for some people to hear. You know, we've been here 10 years almost. But it's still, especially being that our family are new business owners, it is still definitely, you know, a difficult business. So I was nervous that if we did stop, it would be difficult to get back open. So the number one thing was just motivation to keep this going. As far as keeping the positive attitude, I wish I could explain it and I wish I could pass it on to others. It's just something that I've been able to mostly maintain for a number of years. One big thing that helps me a lot is I listen to the Lego Movie 2 soundtrack over and over and over again in the car on the way to work, and it's upbeat, it's poppy, it's everything is awesome, and sometimes you need that motivator. But you know, we all put on our best faces for others. I understand that we are running a business that, even though, you know, the adults are critical. The magic is for the children. So it's really important to me to keep that magic alive and let these kids know. Yeah, this was a big disruption for us, but man, the kids in our communities have just been absolutely disrupted. Like, who could have seen any of this coming? And one big motivator for me was I wanted to be able to offer the children that we serve some semblance of normalcy. Well, everything's crazy when everyone's back to school, but hey, Berks and Mini Figs, they're still here for you. They're still helping you smile. So, you know, getting feedback from the customers and, you know, all of our friends out there, they're saying, thank you for Pose. Thank you for continuing to be here. My kids love it. That's a really big motivator to keep us going and keep smiles on during it.
I love that, man. Thank you so much for doing that. You almost got me a little choked up there. That's so special.
Sorry about that.
No, it's I'm a softie. It happens all the time, actually. So
yeah, I cry all the time in movies.
Oh, Pixar, man. I cannot watch a Pixar. I tell you, they've got my number just dialed in.
They know the formula. They're pretty good.
They do. Yeah, they've got that down to a science. But, well, we're almost out of time here, David. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before you go?
I just want to say thank you so much to the people of Canby and, you know, the surrounding areas who have supported Bricks and Minifigs for 10 years. When it started, it was a far-out thing that no one had ever heard of, and it very easily could have just disappeared back into the interwebs where the vast majority of Lego trading happened.
Right.
But that early support, that early excitement that has continued through 10 years has allowed Bricks and Minifigs to grow from what started as two independent stores to grow into a network of 40 stores across the U.S. And so that people in all over the nation and even in Canada, they can step into Bricks and Minifigs just like the local people here did that very first time.
Yeah.
All over the U.S. they can step into that and they can have that magic. So I just really want to say thank you to the people who have supported Bricks and Minifigs from the beginning, and especially again to everyone who has been supporting us since our family took over about 3 years ago. When we took over, we didn't want to change too much, but there was also things we wanted to do differently. So we immediately started focusing on doing events for families and kids to bring them into the store, and making other, you know, small changes. Like, we stopped selling candy and snacks that had high fructose corn syrup and artificial colors and things, because we really do care about the kids in the community, and we want Bricks and Minifigs to be a magical, special place for them to visit. So just thank you so much for continuing to, you know, bring your families here and supporting what, even though we are a large store, we are the flagship location of a large organization, we are still an independently owned small business. Owned and operated right here in Canby. We got five employees, so we really appreciate everyone who buys their Legos here instead of going to some of the other places they have options at. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so important nowadays it always was in some ways, and in some ways you define it, you know, it always, that was a challenge, right? For a small business owner, it's always been easier to just buy stuff online, you know, ever since that was a thing anyway. And now even more so, where it's like a lot of places are closed or they're doing things really differently or what have you. No, it takes more work. It does to shop local and support local, but it's so important now more than ever. And especially stores like yours that have gone to enormous lengths to still do things very safely and securely, you know, and still keep employees employed here locally. So thank you for doing that. Please support local if you can. Check out Bricks and Minifigs Canby on Facebook. I think you're just Bricks and Minifigs on Instagram.
I think Bricks and, Instagram is just Bricks and Minifigs.
Great follows, both social media. Even before all this, you guys really were good on the socials, but especially now, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. David, appreciate you. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. You guys have a great evening.
Joining us once again on the Canby Now podcast is Derek Hill. of Advantage Mortgage. He joins us on the line, of course. How are things in the industry right now with all the crazy stuff going on?
You know, it's a little crazy, but not too crazy. I mean, we definitely have seen some things tighten up. Obviously, with any kind of uncertainty, banks tend to tighten their guidelines. So the great thing about being a broker is that even though some of our lenders are tightening up, we have others that aren't. We have a lot of lenders that are just status quo. They're like, hey, we still have all the same channels. We still have all the same credit score requirements. You know, interest rates may be a little bit higher because of the level of risk, but they're still funding loans. So actually March was one of the biggest months of our company's funding. So
wow.
we're still funding loans. There's still people out there buying. There's still people out there selling. We have to make sure that we're not, you know, spreading the virus and whatnot. But yeah, everything's still moving along.
Cool. So how can people get in touch with you right now?
The easiest way is just call the office, 503-266-5800, or send us an email, derek@findtheadvantage.com. But just call the office and we'd be happy to help.
Awesome. Thanks, Derek. Hang in there.
All right. You as well. Derek Hill, NMLS 50183, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Let's continue our series looking at the unprecedented impacts the coronavirus pandemic are having on various segments of our community. Today, we check in with the local parents of high school seniors. Sure, disappointment is part of life, but that doesn't change the fact that the class of 2020 has really gotten, in the words of KMB High School principal Greg Dinza, a raw deal. They completed 12 and 3 quarters of a 13-year public school career, only to be denied all the good stuff at the end. It's like running a marathon and the crowds not being allowed to cheer when you cross the finish line. Since the dawn of modern education, it's a disappointment no other nationwide group of high school seniors has experienced. We asked local parents how they and their seniors are processing the loss. Here's what they had to say.
One day at a time. As a parent, I understand how important some of these rites of passage to our young seniors are, my child included, but my hope is the experience is used to as a positive for them going forward in life, for it to become an in spite of moment in time for them and not a negative reflection to them to hang on to forever. Fail often, fail early, and fail forward drives success. I wish the entire class of 2020 great futures. Make your own life, and do not let the life make you. God bless.
As a mom to 2 seniors at Canby High School, my emotions have run the spectrum from feeling heartbroken for all the milestones that my kids are missing out on, to the heartwarming feelings that I have felt watching our school administration and staff go above and beyond trying to make our seniors feel special and loved during this time.
It has been tough on this dad's heart. I do worry that some will miss that sense of closure and possibly drift a while before engaging in the next phase of their lives. I truly hope in the future when we look back at the data, which I'm sure we will be collecting and closely analyzing on this epic event in our world, that it shows that it was indeed necessary, hindsight being what it is.
You take the moments as they come and find extraordinary delight in the smaller things. Moments that were created with personal effort. The hearts we received in the mail, the Friday night lights, opening my door to find a friend delivered a sign for my son, the effort that CHS made when we picked up cap and gown. You become very grateful for continued health. You appreciate community, chalk messages, and knowing we are all in this together.
I told my son some years ago when he was going to skip the ceremony at OSU, it isn't just for you, it's also for your family. They get a chance to be proud of you. It is a shame that we are missing that this year.
It's been a roller coaster. Some days we're okay, it's okay. Other days we are not okay. These rites of passage, these moments are important to mark years of hard work and achievement. They also mark the end of childhood and transition into adulthood. I just don't want to see my child walk across the stage to get her diploma. I want to hear her accomplishments listed out. She has earned this honor. I think she will be devastated if college doesn't fully start as normal in the fall. I think that will be what breaks her. In truthfulness, she is probably handling it better than I am, and I feel fortunate to be at our private school. They've committed to having some kind of ceremony. I do love all the things that Camby is doing for their students.
Some days are harder than others, but our kids are resilient and taking things in stride. I think one of the hardest parts for me is having everything come up on my calendar that they are missing. Right now is the state choir competition, alumni choir, and the kids are missing that. Next week was academic awards, senior one act plays, and the prom, and they're missing that. Just sadness right now.
I've cried a lot. I am definitely more upset than she is. Some of her friends are having a really hard time. Just trying to keep her busy and keep up with her volunteer schedule. There's no way to recapture what they're missing. But oh well, it'll be a story to tell someday.
Some days I think that I am more upset about everything she is missing than she is. She is still taking 3 dual credit classes, which I think helps her stay busy. The hardest part is not having this time with friends since they are all headed off to different schools.
I know I'm taking this a lot harder than my son is. He is missing his people, sad that they didn't get this final time together. Me, I have had some serious ugly cry moments. For me, I'm sure it's not being able to watch my only son graduate. It's just all crappy. I know they will do something eventually. I'm just a baby.
You briefly grieve the loss of what you've anticipated that has been eliminated. Adapt to the reality that life has changed and will continue to change. Then look forward to what is next in life's book. It's better to look forward than to dwell in the past. Between now and the time we find normalcy again, do as many things that can make you happy. Choose happiness.
This episode is brought to you by the Wild Hair Saloon in Canby in Oregon City. The coronavirus has changed much about how the Wild Hair does business, but it has not changed the where, the why, or who they do it for. Owners Joan and Darren Monin, both lifelong Canby residents, are as committed to the community they love as they've ever been. Even as the service industry has been deeply impacted by the current public health situation, they continue to rally behind Canby, its people, and especially those most in need. We are so grateful for their continued support in this difficult time. As we've always said, the Wild Hair is a place where Canby goes to eat and have fun. That hasn't really changed. You just have to take your food and, you know, go eat it somewhere else. Until the governor's stay-home orders expire, the Wild Hair's friendly staff will be there to handle your carry-out orders Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. They continue to offer their full menu of delicious food options, and they're doing a weekly meal deal that serves a family of 4 for only $25. Find the latest on their Facebook page, full menu available online at thewildhairsaloon.net. Give them a holler today at 503-651-4273.
The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe.
and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.